AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Hi, I'm Jim. Welcome to the Unbound Performance Podcast, where we explore the world of sports and performance mindset training.
And I'm Caroline. Each week, we talk about the strategies, habits, and mental framework that help us to excel. Let's get into today's episode.
Anyway.
The thunder.
Yeah. Thunder struck.
I watched almost every game of that series except for the last one.
Oh.
Just by the end of it, I was like...
Yeah, I watched... I watched the last one too, but watched a good bit of that. Probably the semis and the finals, I watched a fair amount. I don't watch as much NBA as I used to.
Yeah, it's not as up my alley as it once was, although it never really was for me, to be completely honest.
Just kind of the way the game is played now tactically makes me less apt to watch it. Although, not when it comes to that point in the season, I still like watching it. And it was a great series between Pacers and the Thunder. Went down to game seven, but I saw
game seven's always fun. Even it, like, I don't care about either of those two teams. It's just, it's a fun one to watch because it's just such like a high energy, high stakes. Yeah.
Yep. So the article ran on The Athletic. I think this is from June 24th. So it's 3 weeks ago.
Hold the mic down like a little bit. Yeah. There you go. You don't have to. You'll have to.
That's how those rock and roll singers do it.
Like this.
Yeah. Hold it up. But I'm not one of those. And it was wasn't a long article, but it was on their culture, which I thought was very interesting, some of the comments that were made.
Yeah, I think culture is such an underrated, like in the sport itself, but I think from the outside looking in, people don't realize how much culture impacts the success. I think they just see the results of the culture existing rather than recognizing what it is that's creating that either performance or team togetherness or whatever that looks like. I think that's, as someone who played sports and knows how important that is, I don't always think that everybody from the outside looking in is aware of, like, not just the fact that it exists, but how much work goes into building a culture that produces success like that.
Yeah. I always like the idea that you're going to have a culture one way or the other.
Right.
You know, you just...
Which one do you want to have?
Yeah. And so the kind of the things they lean into, it's interesting. And it reminded me of some of the teams I've coached in the past where just all kind of worked really well.
Yeah.
I mean, I think on some level, culture is talked about, you know, kind of across the landscape, whether it's business or athletics or whatever. But I don't know that it really is worked on,
yeah,
you know, to the extent that it impacts everyone in the...
I think people tend to look more at, like, the processes of the team or the, whether it's a business or a sport, and think that, like, okay, what processes can we put in place to make us more efficient or make us work better together, or who's going to get on board with this new technology or whatever. But before someone can get on board with a new technology, let's just use that as an example, like, they have to have the cultural willingness to, like, grow together and be willing to adapt and try new things. And I think that was, I experienced that in a job once where it was actually after COVID when we were kind of like, we never did anything virtual before. Everything was in person. We brought a physical book to our clients. Everything was like very tangible. And after we returned, so during COVID, obviously we adapted and did virtual meetings and things with clients. And so when we got back to the office, I was like, this is great. Like, now we have this opportunity to be able to be more efficient and not have to be driving all over town all the time. We can do virtual with the people who want to. And my business partner, like, wasn't into that. Like, to him, that was just a COVID thing. And that was not a new way to adapt. He didn't want to use, like, we had never done a Teams chat before. We could just type to one another. It was always like yelling down the hall or picking up the phone and calling one another. Right. And so to me, a quick chat for someone is so much better and effective than like interrupting me when you walk into the office or you pick up the phone and call me. And it was such a struggle to like get everyone on board with, like, I realize it's new, but it doesn't mean it's bad. And that was one of those situations where like we always were trying to start, like, how can we make our team be more efficient? How can we be more specific about delegating roles to each person? We had a pretty big team for the average in that industry. But when we were presented the opportunities to implement those delegation of roles, it was like, ugh, like everyone kind of got freaked out. And so it was one of those, not everyone, some people on the team got freaked out by that. So that was something for me where I really saw, like, it wasn't about necessarily the process itself, but the step before that where you have to be willing to open your mind to change.
Yeah, and I think the personal nature of establishing a culture, that was difficult in that virtual world.
Yeah.
Like, there's lots of pluses to that for sure, but terms, especially, like, it's one thing if you have established relationships already. Sure. When you've got new people come in, the whole, this is who we are, this is how we do it,
right,
this is what we believe in, that is a much tougher thing to transmit to newcomers.
Yeah.
So now I guess there's a lot of hybrid, you know, you're
yeah
in the office some, not in the office some. Although some offices are, you know, people spread all over the country or even...
Yeah,
internationally. That's
my team is now, is there's work across the whole country. And it was interesting too, because I ultimately left that job because I couldn't really figure out how to, we've talked about this 100 times, how to get my work-life balance post-COVID. So it was interesting to go from a team where we were trying to adapt and adopt these new, I don't know, tools. And we couldn't. And then I joined a team that was virtual and had pretty much always been virtual. And then I found myself like having to learn the ropes for how that worked. And so it's been different too, because I saw, like, I wanted that job because I wanted to work virtually and have the flexibility of being at home. But I also discovered that, like, the ability to just have easy conversations and, like, hey, what'd you do yesterday? Like, you have to actively call someone to have that conversation. You can't, yep, just be grabbing water in the kitchen and how was your weekend and then move on with the workday. So that's been another thing where the culture of my new team, which is 100% virtual, is like having to be intentional about, if we want to get to know these people on a personal level, you have, yep, to just call them just because and have a quick conversation, because you won't have that, you know, water cooler conversation or whatever you want to call it. You don't walk to the car together at the end of the day and recap and talk about what's going on that night. So,
well, and that's, you know, with this article, one of the things they talked about with the Thunder and their culture is how every voice matters.
Yeah, I like that.
But they really work to make sure everyone feels valued,
yep,
regardless of their role. And they talked about how it was all 15 guys on the team and everyone felt comfortable speaking up,
yeah,
giving their opinion, telling what they saw. You know, if it was someone who didn't play very much, you know, they've got a different perspective.
Yeah.
And the fact that they worked on that so much, or, and that was such a important part of what they believed in. I just thought that was very powerful.
Yeah.
And it's so, we automatically give the loudest voices to the people who, you know, maybe play more or whatever.
Yeah, flashiest or whatever. Yeah.
And I think that if someone's on the team, you know, whatever team it is, they matter.
Yep.
And they may have plenty to offer in terms of perspective and insight, but we'll never know that if we don't make them feel comfortable, yep, and accepted and appreciated.
That was funny how they said that he called some of his teammates cockroaches and hyenas, right, and he meant it as, right, a total compliment, talking about sort of like the big roles and the small roles, and the guys that do the little work, that don't get the most plays, that don't average 30 points, but they're part of our season, our winning is just as big as anybody else's. And I think that's one of those, when we had Katie Kappas on months ago,
yep,
talking about when freshmen come in and the culture of, like, this is how the team works, like, kind of like get on board or get out sort of perspective. And she also told a story about, I don't remember what game it was for them, but they were losing, and a freshman came into the locker room and just lit everybody up. And
Darcy Dorton.
Yep. And that's one of those things where, like, she felt that she could do that because whether she was a big player or not, or a freshman or a senior, everyone's got a voice. And so while it may have been sort of unexpected because she hadn't done it before, I think Katie seems to suggest it wasn't typical for her to necessarily do that in a game situation. But I think that's one of those things that just proves, like, when you have a culture of everybody's role in the team is important, when you watch a team win a national championship, even the players who didn't play a single second or a single point of that game had something to do with that win.
Well, yeah, that was Penn State's national championship win over Texas, where yeah. They had dropped the first two sets, had this 108-match winning streak going into that. And, yeah, I think that's a huge thing. And that was you talk about some high-powered personalities on that team. Yeah. Freshmen's got to feel pretty good about themselves to come in there and drop that hammer, so to speak. But I think that's, I mean, they were very intentional about transmitting their culture to anyone that was coming in.
That was like part of preseason training sort of thing, was like introducing them to how this is how we work.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting point she made, for sure.
I liked in this article how like the last section said, lean into the fun. And twice they quoted this guy and it said, when a group that has a common goal also gets along exceptionally well, the chemistry will help carry that group to where it wants to go. These guys really make you feel like I'm a kid playing AAU basketball, like I'm 15 years old again. They make it seem like it's fun. I think that's what makes us really good. We're just out there having fun together. And I think when you can, and I, by no means is this an easy feat to get a bunch of adult men, adult women, teenage men or women to necessarily just like each other and really enjoy one another. But that's where that effort of building the culture where everyone buys in and ultimately has care and compassion for one another that I think can lead to this. Like, you can see a team when they're just playing freely and fun and they're laughing and they're smiling, even in the most high-pressure situations. That's not just because they don't care or they're like, whatever. It's because that is the culture they've bred on their team, and this is how we work even when the pressure's high. We still get to play our game and loosen up and have a good time. So I think that was something that I thought was interesting to hear from a professional. Now, they're a young team. But to hear from that high level who won an NBA championship saying, like, we just have fun together.
Well, I think, again, goes across the board. I remember reading Terry Pettit's book, Talent and the Secret Life of Teams, you know, forever ago. It came out, and one of the things he talked about right away, job one, this has to be fun.
Yeah.
For everyone, and if it doesn't matter, like, what level, like, right, whether it's you're in high school or you're playing in the Olympics.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Regardless, yeah, it doesn't matter. This has to be an enjoyable... That doesn't mean, like, it's all easy, just laughs, right, and... Right. But the whole culture and process has to be enjoyable, and that that's one of the things I noticed sometimes in youth sports. Coaches are just yelling at kids all the time, and it doesn't seem like that much fun to me.
Yeah.
But then you go back to that statistic, 70% of kids drop out of sports the age of 13.
Yep.
So on the one hand, we talk about how great sports participation is, but then everywhere you look, you've got,
right,
these cultures that make it so that kids want to quit.
Want to quit, and they're miserable. Yeah.
So I think something's up there.
I think that's also a mix, though, of, like, I mean, there are certainly situations where the coach or the organization makes it miserable for kids, but do you also think that's a bit of a culture of like how we're raising kids and what they can and can't tolerate or handle or
I think through? There is certainly some of that. I think, you know, pressure that comes from parents to perform at a certain level adds to that. But I just observe a lot of youth sports coaches just yell at their players all the time. And I mean, I remember playing and this isn't new. Like I played football. I vividly remember this. I think I was like in ninth grade or something. And my position coach, I mean, I can't even remember a compliment. Everything was him
negative.
Grabbing my face mask, yelling at me, swearing at me, and...
Sounds like fun.
Oh, it was a blast. And I remember we had this inter-squad scrimmage, and I was a defensive lineman, and, you know, he gets us all lathered up, and so I'm, like, going crazy. And our quarterback, you know, is wearing the no-hit jersey, and... I hit him and break his ribs. And then two plays later, the other defensive end breaks our starting fullback's ribs. So we've got, you know, within three plays, two-thirds of our starting backfield out. And I remember, obviously I felt terrible, so did the other defensive end. And we, you know, especially me, you can't hit the quarterback. I just did. And so I remember a coach grabs us both by the face mask, pulls us over to the side, sitting on the curb. He's just screaming at us. And he kicks us both in the head. Still had the helmet on. But nonetheless... And I was so close to taking my helmet off and just attacking him with it. It was all I could do not to do it. And I had come off a broken tailbone.
Yeah, I remember you mentioned that before.
And he made me do sit-ups the rest of practice on my tailbone. And the other guy was coming off broken collarbone. He made him do push-ups the rest of practice. And
I'd be in jail today.
Oh, yeah. There's no way. But needless, that was... my last year playing football. Yeah. And it wasn't all because of him, but it sure didn't help that
it takes any bit of fun.
Yeah, and there was zero fun.
Well, it wasn't even just taking, it wasn't even sucking the fun out of it. It was like injecting fear also. Like, is not the method you want experience. Like, that's...
I don't know if I was afraid or not, but I couldn't stand him. I mean, and it didn't matter. Like, right. I remember one... play. I was playing offensive tackle, and I had pancaked two guys on the play, blocked two guys, knocked them down. And when I come off, he just grabs me by the face mask and starts screaming at me about how I didn't do anything out there. And I tried to say yeah, but and no, there was none of it. So it was just kind of a no-win situation.
Sure.
That I got sick of. But so that's an extreme example of creating a no fun culture. But I think it's incumbent upon leaders across the board to create environments. You know, Simon Sinek talks about this all the time, where business leaders, like, it's really important that you create an environment at work where people want to come to work.
Right.
And, you know, if they're dreading coming to work, well, it's not, you're not going to be successful. Sure. As a business. And the same thing goes for teams. If kids are driving to practice dreading going to practice, or they're geeked out, you know, on game day, you're not going to play well. I remember one of the early teams at Colonel Gibbons for volleyball that was really good. And we were at a team camp in the summer, and our starting setter, who we've had as a guest, Kat, was out with a broken hand. So we're going through this camp tournament with our starting right side as the setter, and every now and then she would forget to go set.
Been there.
We would
literally
nail this pass and serve receive, and no one, it would just plop on the floor. So we were all just howling, laughing, like just. But they won the tournament anyway. Like, so I could have like been losing head and like yelling, and I didn't. I would just laugh,
right.
Like, hey, maybe next time, you know.
Well, you knew too that they would be able to recover from those things happening. I think that's something too, is the ability to like have a mistake or a goofy. I mean, I served a ball in college that I swear to God didn't even make it to my own 10-foot line. I don't know what happened. It was just a total goof. And I remember like I wasn't even embarrassed. It was just, everyone was just like, what just happened? And we laughed and we moved on. Like, it wasn't like a, you know, how dare you miss that serve? It was just like, what the hell was that? And we laughed and moved on. I think that's one of those things where when you have confidence in yourselves as a team, like as oneness together as people, but also in obviously in your physical skills, like those types of situations, you can come right
out. And that was a sick team. I mean, they
went
undefeated 3 years in a row. But the environment around it was rough, tough. No matter what happens, we'll blast through it. And I remember at the end of that camp, when they won the tournament, no one watching was very happy for them, because like they can like forget to go set and laugh about it and they would still win. Yeah. You know, it was our kids were kind of like, how come nobody's rooting for us?
Someone happy for us. They hate you.
Yeah. I think that's like, there are going to be mistakes. They're inevitable in anything we do. But if we have a culture of toughness and we're loving all of this, the good and the bad, like this all works together to help us become everything we can be. And you're just staying in attack mode the whole time. That's a pretty formidable culture.
Yeah.
And for me, you know, I was at some point pretty quickly realize it's not necessarily about the X's and O's, but it's about the relationships you have with these people. And then I'm not saying X's and O's aren't important or technical coaching isn't important, but I think foundationally, your culture, when it's a culture of love and
makes implementing those X and O's a
whole lot easier. Then they'll hear what you have to say. But if they get the sense that you don't really care about them as people, then your X's and O's don't matter.
Yep.
Like, so that, I think that was, I loved all those quotes where he was saying, it was like in 15 and playing again, and how they, you know, we're throwing towels on the coach's head.
Tossing it on his head and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, it was powerful. The other thing I have to talk about is the be where your feet are.
Yeah. Was it before every game in practice, something like that?
Yeah.
They all take like a minute just to stand, close their eyes, and be present.
Yep.
Like, you're not there, you're not where you're going to be next, like you're right here, right now. And that is one of those, again, doesn't have to just be in sports. Like, anything you can do, that just take a moment and be where you are, because, you know, the anxiety comes when we worry about the future. If we realize that we don't have control over that, and we just are in the moment right now, taking care of what you can take care of, that helps so much with the presence and the success of what you're there to do right then and there.
Yeah, and that's the only way you're going to be really good, is if you're not distracted
actually
by what's happened or what's going to happen, but you're there. And that, I don't care if that's, you know, before you get to work and you have a meeting first thing. Yep. Okay. You need to get mentally and emotionally prepared yep. to be what you need to be for that meeting
yep.
and not just walk in and being unprepared. And you're just, that's not what your team needs, whatever
yep.
kind of team it is.
Right.
And if you're in a position of leadership, which, you know, on one level, I think we all are, like all of us, it's incumbent upon all of us when we show up that yep. we're ready yep. and we're going to be where our feet are. That I thought that was,
I like the way they put that.
Yeah, yep. really cool. I remember when Mike Shaw was at Triangle, he was always saying, keep your head where your feet are, you know,
yeah.
just constantly, which is really good advice.
It's good stuff.
Yep. Yeah, that was, so it's interesting how winning cultures are really similar across the board too. Yep. Like, doesn't matter what they are, what kind of team they are, whether it's a AAU basketball team or an NBA yep. basketball team or a business.
You see a lot of the same yeah. types of
yep.
types of habits and relationships.
Bingo.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Unbound Performance Podcast.
Your support helps us continue to build our community. If you're enjoying this content, please like, subscribe, and share.